Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the January 11th, 2015 edition of Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show. I am Dr. Number 14, and we have a lot of stuff to review this week, including the premieres of Galavant and Agent Carter, The Librarians, The Return of Resurrection, Gotham, Sleepy Hollow, Pretty Little Liars, American Horror Story Freak Show, as well as we're reviewing two of the last three episodes until the mid-season finale, which hopefully we'll be able to review next week, of Outlander, because we're playing catch-up. And to watch all the Transporters, White Collar series to play catch-up. And now I'm playing catch-up with Outlander, too. So, without further ado, Galavant. Wow. This was pretty cool. On the all, it did an average for the first two episodes, a 2.0, which was a lot higher. It was up 15% from the mid-season finale of Once Upon a Time, which was 1.7, and it averaged 7.42 million viewers. And it's all about Sir Galavant, who loses his, I guess, fiance or his lover, Magdalena, to King Richard. And Magdalena wants the fame and fortune, so she marries King Richard instead. So a year later, Princess Isabel will give him a priceless jewel so he can help her people defeat King Richard. So the hero begins his journey to rescue Magdalena, even though Princess Isabella is working for King Richard. So that was in the pilot. And then in Joust Friends, they need the money. They need money to travel, so they enter a joust that will pay 1,000 shillings for a grand prize. They meet up with John Hamm, his rival, and basically the joust commences, but Galavant can't move in his armor because he trained too hard, and Isabel made Hamm too sick. And so they knock each other off their horses, but Galavant is able to get up first, and he discloses that, he's the winner. And then they have the song, Maybe You're Not the Worst Thing Ever, with Isabella respecting Galavant and Magdalena starting to respect Prince Richard. So they have some great musical scores in here by the same people that did Little Mermaid and all the other Disney productions. I was very impressed with it. I really was. With the coming attractions, I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not, but I do. I think it's a great mid-season type of special outing, and if it continues to do okay in the ratings, I'm hoping that basically it is renewed for a second season, for a second outing. And so far, indications are pretty good that it will. Okay, what about Marvel's Agent Carter? Well, they showed two episodes, too, but they were hour-long episodes, the pilot and then Bridge and Tunnel. And basically, it was up over the mid-season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This year, 1.9 as opposed to 1.7, but it did fall a little bit short of the season two premiere of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where that got a 2.1. So not too sure about this, whether it's going to sustain the interest or not. But then again, it's only eight episodes, and there's only seven more weeks to go. And I thought it worked pretty well. They have some clips of Captain America in there when he heads his plane down to get frozen, and Peggy Carter definitely loves him. And so it takes place in 1946. And the basic arc is that Howard Stark is accused of selling secret technology to the enemy. Is he a traitor? And now he's missing. So Peggy meets someone up in the alley, and it's Stark's butler, Jarvis, who plays the voice, interestingly, of Iron Man on the Iron Man movies, Jarvis, as well as I believe he's going to play the Vision, too, in Avengers, Age of Ultron. Well, anyway, Howard is in a car, and he talks to Peggy and says he has a vault where he kept his bad babies, and then there was a hole that appeared underneath the vault, and his inventions were stolen, and he needs someone he can trust, and it's her. So Jarvis can't assist Peggy, and so what they're trying to do is find a chemical formula that Mr. Spider Raymond has. And basically when Cutter opens up his safe and finds a glowing sphere of nitramine, she realizes that they've used the formula to create a weapon already. So she puts the bomb in her purse, and basically she's able to neutralize the weapon, though her roommate, Colleen, is killed by this assassin. And so basically they track down the components of the bomb to this milk factory of all places, because it's emitting Vita rays, and she has a Vita ray detector, and it's at this Roxxon facility milk plant. And so she sees more of the weapons being manufactured, and she sees an entire van filled with the nitramine bombs. And Brennus is played by Frain, a notable SF actor, has a voice box simulator, and he says Leviathan is coming, and he activates a bomb as he drives off with the van filled with bombs, and Carter gets atop Jarvis's van as the bomb levels the complete facility, and they get out in the nick of time. So that's what happens in the pilot episode. And then in episode 2, Bridge and Tunnel, Peggy still has to clear Stark's name. And so she assumes the identity of Ruth Barton to inspect the Daisy Clover milk trucks, and she finds a driver by the name of Sheldon McPhee. And so basically they head where McPhee is. Carter finds the van with the nitramine inside. Carter fights McPhee and knocks him out. And the one, Mr. Brennus is there. He's trying to leave with the van, but Jarvis fixed the truck. And so McPhee, meanwhile, escapes. They take the truck, but the assassin that's been pursuing Peggy from the first episode lands atop the van. Carter fights the assassin. Brennus gets shot. Jarvis takes the wheel. All of them get off as the truck plummets into the waters, and all the bombs explode. Brennus dies, and he draws a heart first for some strange reason. We don't know what that is. But the bombs have gotten rid of all the water in the lake. And Carter's leg is stitched up by Jarvis, and the SSR agents are reviewing the pics because she was infiltrating Spider's organization wearing a wig, basically as a blonde. So we don't know if the other SSR, and that's the Strategic Science Reserve that she works for, is going to figure out that Carter is a double agent, but is doing things on mission. But one of the agents finds the license plate of Stark's car in the rocks and wreckage. So is Tony Stark still alive? Well, yes, he is. And will the SSR agent find him? We don't know. So we're just going to have to wait and see there. Okay. So this brings us then to The Librarians, episode 106, The Fables of Doom. And it received a 1.0 rating. This is good because at least it's being consistent with its previous week. And because when it dipped to the 0.8, that's when I was worrying, because Dallas dipped to a 0.7 and a 0.6. As long as it maintains the 1.0, that's great. And they're doing two showings of The Librarians tonight and two showings next week. I'm not sure if that's going to be the end of the librarians after that, if they have 10 episodes or 13 episodes. But in any case, I thought it was really good. And it had to do with, of all things this week, the Fables of Doom. It had to do with tales. And I like fairy tales. And it starts out with a man's truck being picked up by a troll and being thrown in the water. And then the librarians go to Bremen, where this place is going on, where the incident occurred, and Cassandra identifies a huge fingerprint of a troll, and they find that the troll turned to stone in the daylight. So Stone and Cassandra team up. They see the mayor without any clothes on. Reminds them of the emperor's new clothes. Then the group sees a huge wolf with a nightcap on, and Stone uses an axe to kill it, and it's the wolf from Little Red Riding Hood. And interestingly, they find on the inside of the wolf, Red Riding Hood, who's still alive. So Jenkins tries to identify the magical item that makes these fairy tales come true. And it's the Libra Fabula. And it's a storybook. And the book is gaining in power. And it's converting the librarians too. So Cassandra is becoming Prince Charming now. And the girls are eyeing her. Eve is turning into a princess with growing hair. Beautiful face, beautiful gowns, slippers. Stone is becoming the huntsman. The only one that basically is not changing is Ezekiel, the rogue, who appears to be immune to these fairy tales. So people are getting sick as they feed the storybook. So Ezekiel follows this coin to the sick girl's room in the hospital, and she's dying. It's the sergeant's daughter, the sheriff's daughter, Jamie. And meanwhile, Eve and Stone go to the library at Bremen, and they find the custodian, who has a rare book collection, and he's trustee of the entire collection, and he's an old man. So basically, the book is getting stronger. The librarians lead people safely to the library as vines start growing out of the ground, the sheriff becoming a wolf along with others. And Ezekiel heads back to Jamie's room and sees the old man reading to her, and he's getting more powerful. So Ezekiel struggles with the storyteller, and he grabs the storybook and says the wolves are blind. And then the coin goes to Ezekiel, and it immobilizes the storyteller, and Jamie then is able to retell the story, where the huntsman becomes a robot, the princess becomes a ninja princess, the Prince Charming becomes Merlin, and using their skills, they chase the wolves away. And then the old man, the library custodian, is sucked into the storybook, and then Jamie returns to health and is reunited with her dad. And they get the Libris Fabula. They bring it to the annex. And Ezekiel's not surprised. He saved the day. And it looks like Cassandra has a bit of Merlin's magic left in her by the end of the episode, too. So, yeah. All right. So this now brings us to Resurrection. And I think they only have three more episodes after this one. Episode 210, Prophecy. And my significant other and I were watching this, and the first half of it was outstanding. We thought, wow, this might be a little too late, but it seems like Resurrection is turning around, but odds are it's not going to get renewed because it only received a 1.0, which is horrible for ABC. For CW, it's great, but for ABC, to do CW ratings, that's horrible, with 4.1 million viewers. So Jacob and Margaret are missing in Prophecy, and a storm is brewing. And this man gets struck by lightning, and he appears in a bar looking for a boy, and a tree tattoo is on his back, and he leaves after taking a raincoat. Jacob and Margaret, meanwhile, go to where it all began, the old sawmill. And Bellamy meets up with the man that got hit with lightning. He's looking for someone, but he's gone now, so he says. And he walks on. So Margaret tells Jacob that the return came back to punish the Langston family. So Bellamy, Henry Langston, and his brother Fred go to the sawmill. Margaret is there, says Jacob wants to be with her. and Bellamy takes him away, and Margaret says she hates her sons, and then Margaret is taken away too. And Jacob returns to Lucille, who's absolutely ecstatic. And then Bellamy's sister Jenny comes to Arcadia, and she's told he's her brother, so she's going to live with him and wants to introduce her, be introduced to Maggie, which she is. Meanwhile, Jacob tells his mom that he didn't want to hurt her anymore, and that's why he left, but then he didn't want to go away anymore either. Lucille and Henry, meanwhile, argue. Lucille wants him to leave because he sided with the mother, and so he does. And then Margaret tells Fred how she made Barbara disappear. She told her simply to give up. And she heard how the first return disappeared, too. They just let go, and she was 10 at the time. So she wants to go to the facility where the returned are and be with her own kind. Meanwhile, Jenny, Bellamy's sister, recognizes the man that got hit with lightning. It's Preacher James, and she hugs him, and James is one of the returned, too. So the ending is really weird. Bellamy gets up, goes to the place where Preacher James got hit by lightning, and it's a crescent-shaped torched area, just like his tattoo. And then all these bugs come from the ground, and they form a tree, just like the tree tattoo on his back before they disappear. Then Preacher James comes by and says he died saving Robert, a.k.a. Bellamy, in the flood. And he is going to heal the place, Bellamy's help. Wow, what does this all mean? Don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. So this brings us to Pretty Little Liars, episode 514, Through a Glass Darkly. Received a 0.9 rating with 2.012 million viewers. So let us play our Pretty Little Liars theme song, and then we'll review it, shan't we?
Here
we
go. Can you keep it with this one you say? Better lock it in your pocket, taking this one to the grave. Is it showing that I know you won't tell what I said? Cause two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
So, Mona's funeral commences, and Allison shows up, and Mona's mom slaps her. And then Mona's mom gives Hannah a stuffed toy of Mona's and apologizes for her rude behavior. Meanwhile, Bethany Young's parents are trying to revoke Spencer's bail, and they're talking to the judge. And Paige is leaving Emily because her parents want her safe in California. Meanwhile, Hannah wants to see the psychic, Mrs. Grunwald, to find out where Mona's body is. Caleb doesn't think that it's a good idea. So Hannah calls Grunwald in any case, and she goes into the spell, Grunwald does, and touches Mona's stuffed dog and says she's not in Rosewood, but she's in the dark. Her soul is caught, surrounded by dirt and insects. Okay, so Jason doesn't want to cover any more for Allie. Allie says she's being framed by liars and that she did not kill Mona. Meanwhile, Caleb is trying to undecrypt Mona's hard drive. And Aria wants Caleb to find out why she was rejected also from Oberlin College by checking their records. And then a hooded figure attacks Aria and takes Mona's computer. Don't know who that is. And then Emily and Spencer find a camera in the vent at Mona's place. And Hannah gets Mona's mom looking for cameras. The cops soon find footage of Mona being attacked by a figure, but we don't know who. And due to Jason not covering for Allie anymore, the police come for Allison and arrest her for Mona's murder. And Emily is too late to see Paige off, but then Paige's gate changes, and Emily wants her to stay, but Paige wants to go, and they part. And the detective tells Spencer that they're dropping the charges against her. But then these fireworks commence at the end of the episode, and they form an A letter in the sky. But Allie's in jail. So who is A? And I knew right away that A was not Allie, but, you know, that's the way it is. But I knew right away that was so. Okay. So for 1 week, Gotham and Sleepy Hollow returned. And so let's review these two. Gotham, episode 111, Rogue's Gallery. It picked up in the rating from a 2.3 to a 2.5 with 7.06 million viewers. And it's all about Gordon as security guard now at Arkham Asylum. Dr. Leslie Tompkins, basically, he's introduced to her. She admires Jim Gordon's work. And while this is going on, Selena Kyle sees that poison ivy or ivy is sick, so she carries her to Jim's place and treats her. So Gordon checks in on the Frogman Jones. He finds he's brain dead, and his brain is completely fried with these marks that it seems like electroshock treatments were given to him. And another person soon is electrocuted next, and he has the same wounds, and he keeps reciting Shakespeare in a loop. So Gordon thinks it's a staff person. But Dr. Lang is pissed that Gordon calls Bullock in to deal with these crimes. So Bullock takes Lang in for questioning. And Lang thinks of one person who might be involved, Dorothy Duncan, who's posing as a nurse, but she's actually an inmate. And so the nurse takes Jim to the basement, and she frees the prisoners. They go after Dr. Tompkins as well as Jim. And Dorothy, unfortunately, is crushed by the mob. And Jim and Leslie are able to get out. And Dorothy Duncan had electro wounds, too, on her head, and her hair hid them. And so as this is going on, Cobblepot is arrested, and Don Maroney shows up, and he put Oswald in there because of his hubris of raising taxes on the fishermen. Oswald says he will never do it again, and Maroney gets Oswald out. Meanwhile, Dr. Lang is attacked by another of the inmates, and he dies. And the one behind all these killings escapes, and it's Jack Gruber, and he's going to make an appearance in successive episodes of Gotham, in fact, the very next one. So Gordon returns home and finds his place has been occupied by Selena and Ivy. And then Butch looks like he's going to betray Fish, Fish's right-hand man, but he shoots the competition, proving that he's still loyal to her. So there's a lot of intrigue here, not more drama than superhero. So I like a little bit more the Agent Carter, how she fights people and stuff like that. This is a little bit stranger. And I still think Flash and Arrow are the best in terms of the superhero shows to date, just personally. But if you want to disagree with me, call me up at 646-200-0232. Okay, what about Sleepy Hollow, episode 212, Paradise Lost? It went up a little bit in the ratings from a 1.5 to a 1.6 with 4.48 million viewers. If you recall, Ichabod awakens now next to Abby, Henry, their son killed Moloch, and now Henry has disappeared. So we have a standalone episode 6 weeks later, no signs of evil are occurring. But then on the Wilcox farm, livestock is dying and the crops are infected. So Abby and Ichabod investigate. They go to the barn and the satanic ceremony commences with demons. And this angel Orion arrives, kills one with his circular blade, and the others flee, and he says he's Orion and recognizes they are witnesses. Meanwhile, Katrina is with Abraham, and she thinks she can transform him back to being a human. Abraham doesn't want her pity, but he sort of agrees to this. And Orion is the only one of his kind to wage war against the demons. He was held by Moloch in purgatory. He escaped, but when Moloch died, the creatures fled too, so now he's hunting these creatures. And Orion is looking now for the headless horseman because the demons want him as their new master. So he wants Abby to take him to where they're congregating. And Holly has a demon tracking stone. So while this is going on, Holly smashes the stone into pieces, finds a metal sphere inside. Holly sees demons at the carriage house along with the headless horseman. Abby calls Orion in the meantime. He comes and Orion appear. And then Ichabod tells Abby that Orion is always there before disasters happen, so he's not to be trusted. So Orion now wants the power of the horseman and then wants to kill Katrina. So he faces the horseman and his circular weapon embeds itself in the horseman. And he's dying, so Ichabod gets the blade out and destroys it. Orion takes off, and basically the horseman tells him to go, and he, because he saved his life, the headless horseman won't kill Ichabod. And then we find out at the end, something very strange happens. Captain Irving is looking really bad, but he's alive, and he's in Sleepy Hollow. So we don't know what's going on there. But I do like the fact that they moved away from Moloch and Henry, at least for a little bit, to have these standalone stories. Okay, what about American Horror Story, Freak Show? Only two left after this one. Magical Thinking. It matched its previous performance before the holidays of a 1.5 to 3.11 million viewers. So let's play our American Horror Story and then theme, and then we'll review it. Okay, so 2 days ago, Spencer suggests Jimmy cuts off his lobster claw so that he can pay for a retainer's fee to hire a lawyer. And sure enough, Spencer gets Jimmy's hands and he awakens and finds he has no hands. Meanwhile, and I love this, they introduce a new character, Chester, a traveling salesman, who arrives at the carnival. He has a magic act. And Chester performs for Elsa and shows her his dummy, Marjorie, and performs his ventriloquist act. And Elsa says there's no positions available, but Elsa thinks he would be a good bookkeeper for them, so he's so glad he can stay and do his act. Meanwhile, Dale, Jimmy's dad, visits Jimmy. Jimmy says he sewed his hands to pay for Spencer's retainer's fee. Dale feeds him, and Dale says he was a freak for not having lobster claws like his old man. Chester, meanwhile, is going a little bit bananas. He talks to his dummy a bit too much. And while this is going on, Elsa is packing up, getting ready to leave Hollywood. And Chester, meanwhile, talks to Dot and Bette, gives them a music box. He finds a sewing box and wants Dot and Bette to be his assistants as they are beautiful. The twins start developing feelings of love to him. They start kissing him. But Chester gets headaches, they massage him, but he's still getting head pains. So he holds the dummy as he makes love to them. And Dandy, meanwhile, has hired a detective to investigate what's happening with the twins. And the detective took pics of the twins making love to Chester. So Dandy says they were supposed to be his. So now he's going to basically go after Chester. Meanwhile, Jimmy is being taken back to prison, but Dale prevents that and kills both cops. He gets shot, but he does free Jimmy and takes him back to the carnival. Chester, meanwhile, hides Marjorie in a crate, and then Elsa gives the carnival over to Chester. And Chester says Marjorie will be the headliner, and then he finds she's gone from the crate. And Dandy finds Chester and tells him Marjorie is running away. She's angry because of what he's done with the twins. She's also telling how Chester killed his wife and female lover with a hammer. And basically he believes that Marjorie did it, but he himself did it. So Dandy says he's on Chester's side, tells him to look for her in the big tent. And Marjorie is there, who tells him to saw the twins in half. The final bit is really good, where Maggie shows Elsa something, a container of Ma Petite, in it. And then Desi holds a gun on Del. And Desi wants to know who Del killed, and he says he killed Ma Petite by smothering her. And Elsa shoots him in the back. So a lot of stuff is happening in this. I think the last two episodes have been great on American Horror Story Freak Show. Okay, so now this brings us to Outlander. And just in terms of reviewing Outlander, two episodes before the mid-season finale I reviewed, one was 106, The Garrison Commander, received a 0.2 rating. Then The Wedding, episode 107, received a 0.3 rating. So it did climb up somewhat in the ratings. And I know the mid-season finale got a 0.4. So the British Army take Claire and Dugo to their commander, Brigadier Thomas. Dugo treats them rudely, considers them the enemy, so the Brigadier does not invite Dugo to dine with them. And Claire gets along well with them. And then Captain Jack Rando shows up, who appears, the relative of the one that she's married in the present period, and sees Claire but pretends he doesn't know her. And Rando tells them Dugo is downing ale and didn't know he escorted Claire there. So the Brigadier wants Rando to escort them safely back to England. And Claire speaks on behalf of the Scotsman. And so Brigadier Thomas says she must return to her family promptly. But Rando apologizes then for his behavior to Claire in the woods when he sees her. Rando, though, thinks she's a spy for the king's enemies. And Claire tries to come clean with him and tells him an elaborate lie, says she has affections for the man who was stationed in Scotland, but he was licentious and only had lust for her, so he attacked her and she ran off. So Jack sketches her, capturing her likeness, calling it beautiful lies. He still thinks she's a spy, and she's going to be held prisoner until she cooperates. And then Rando admits he delivered 100 lashes to Jamie's back while Dugo watched. And Jamie bleeds profusely due to 100 previous lashes that were inflicted on him. But Jamie's not going to beg for mercy. So the crowd has to look away. And Rando said he was creating a masterpiece. And Claire cries. And Rando says he's not the man he once was. Darkness has grown within him. And Claire says it's not too late to get back his humanity. And then Rando hits her straight on in the stomach. And she's not going to get his sympathy, gets his corporal to kick her once or twice, too. And then Dugo barges in, and Rando lets her go. And he tells them they should go to Fort William. And so Dugo wants her to be a Scots person by marrying one. She reads the wedding contract. Jamie is to be her wedding partner. He admits he's a virgin. And that's how that episode ends. And then in the next episode, The Wedding, which I thought was probably the best of the series to date, we're shown Frank, the one in the present, impulsively marrying Claire at the register's office. And then in the alternate period, she marries Jamie, yet she said as she recalls being married to Frank because now her name is Claire Fraser. So Claire starts downing alcohol after they have the brief ceremony and wants to know about his family. So he tells her stories. They spend the next several hours drinking and talking, getting to know each other. She starts to relax. Jamie undresses her and feels her. They kiss and make love, and they talk about it afterwards. And he thought you did it the back way, like horses, not face-to-face, and she laughs at that. And Claire admits she did like it. So Jamie wants the proper thing done. He wants to be properly wed by a priest, so Dugo abducts a priest, performs the ceremony the next day. The next condition Jamie wants is a wedding ring for Claire, made from a key that he has, melted down from a key that very day, which that happens. And then they get a beautiful wedding dress for Claire as well. So the wedding commences. She takes her other wedding ring off, and they get married in church. And he puts the ring that he has on her finger, and she says in Scottish, "You are blood of my blood. I give you my body so we can be one." And they kiss long and hard, and he strips so she can look at him. He has her do the same, and they make love, and she cries out in ecstasy, and he thinks he's hurting her. And yet she tells him she pleases him immensely. So Jamie falls asleep, and then she goes downstairs to get more wine. And Dugo comes to her and shares news of the marriage to Captain Rando, who is not too pleased. Dugo tries to make a pass at her, but she reminds him she's now Jamie's wife. And then Jamie gives her a pearl necklace. It belonged to his mother. She kisses him, and they get intimate again. And then her previous wedding ring drops out of her wedding dress as she tries to straighten it up. And she looks sad because now she's a woman who has two loves, one in this alternate timeline and one in the present with Frank. So, yeah, this is really good. I like the characterization, the drama of Outlander. So one more episode of Outlander to review next week, and then we're all caught up with the shows that we wanted to do. And I know I ended a little bit early, so I think what I'm going to do is play some Doctor Who music. I am the Doctor, so please enjoy this. Here we go.